Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And Clueless. I mean John.
Ah, say guys, it's our first episode of 2017. Happy New Year!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it's...
That was the mood I was aiming for.
Well, considering that, you know, we jumped directly from 2015 to now,
things
get a little mixed up.
Someone deleted 2016, so it didn't happen.
Yes. No, I did ask on Facebook for any errant time travelers who are reading the quote-unquote archives, you know, to get rid of 2016 while they were passing through.
Hello. 2016 was a good year for my family. No.
No, we just have to bask in the afterglow that is the next, you know, couple days until the 21st when everything burns. We have a party like it's 1999.
Then we'll definitely be basking in the afterglow. Considering, you know, nuclear arms race. But, okay, enough of that. We're not talking about that.
So this is not a podcast.
No. That's in 20 minutes.
Oh, my. Anyway. Woo! Why don't I hang out with you two? So.
Spider-Man, Big Hero 6, Lucasfilm, James Gunn. Okay, we're done. Next.
God. So Dave, is he on drugs?
I would think.
Okay. Wait, let me slow myself down. I'll just.
All right. So, you know. I think what we need to do is talk about something that happened since the last time we've been together. And we had a post of it on our Facebook page. We should all take a minute and talk about an actress that passed away a few weeks ago, which I believe probably touched all of us in different ways.
You only wish it.
Oh, I was trying to avoid it.
So was I. You know.
I know.
Leave it to John to jump in that hole.
But you know who'd appreciate that joke? Carrie Fisher.
That's true.
Yes, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, sadly passed away at the age of 60.
Which is tragic. And then her mom the next day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which,
was crazy. And crazy.
Her son said that she said she doesn't want to live without Carrie and then collapsed. Hmm. So you could say she died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
And you'd probably be right, too. It actually does happen.
Isn't that what Leia's mother died of as well?
Yes. Wow. Talk about kismet.
Yeah.
That's
the worst kind of kismet, though.
Pretty much. So, for those who follow our website, I actually post on there recently, last week, which were my personal memories of Carrie Fisher. I actually got to meet the woman back in 12, and 2012, and spend a day with her. I worked for her at the news. How do I put this? It was definitely a life-changing experience. I mean, I spelled it all out in this, and I don't want to all the details now, but needless to say, meeting someone like her and finding out that not only, you know, was she a gracious and caring person, she was also a fan of all this as well. Like, you know, yes, sure, after 40 years, she kind of gets Star Wars questions, sick of a lot of things, but still seemed to enjoy the whole convention, seeing people dressed in costume, and she, you know, liked going out on the floor and doing shopping at all the vendors, and, you know, a person that enjoyed life.
Yeah.
But it was because of that passion that she still had and the love for all of this. Kind of one of the things that inspired this very podcast.
You wouldn't know it, but...
our jokes are just not up to par. we aspire.
Yes.
So what are some of your memories, Carrie Fisher, Ben?
Well, I, and we've talked about this before, I know that I had seen all the original movies in the theater, but I really don't even remember... The first one I actually have a cognizant memory of is seeing Return of the Jedi. Like the others were, I was so young when my dad took me to see them that those memories just didn't stick. But it was, you know, I have to say, and a lot of people, you know, when they think of, you know, Leia, they think of the gold bikini, and I do too, because that was the first memorable sight of her that I had. But I have to say that whole sequence was, I think, a very empowering scene. I think people take the wrong message from that if they look at it as face value, because she went in there in disguise to free, you know, as a hero, you know, to free Han from Carbonite, got caught, got in, you know, got captured and enslaved after the fact. And even in that, you know, when the opportunity arose, she used the resources at her hands, at her disposal, to be a hero again. And, you know, to have that kind of empowering message for girls, you know, so long ago when there wasn't a lot of that in these types of films back then, I think that's, you know, that's, it's shaped a lot, I think, in cinema since then.
Yeah.
And in my own mind.
I really think you'd be hard-pressed to find a female character before this Leia that really wasn't called damsel in distress or all of the other cliches that women were before her. The first thing when Luke Skywalker comes into the prison cell to save her, she says, you know, aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? You know, like, you know, I'm not going to put up with any BS, even though I'm a prisoner, you know?
And, yeah.
You know, that, again, like you said, it's a very empowering character. Have looked up to for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, I know John does. Oh, was...
Very good. Well, if you want me to go on from that,
yeah.
I think everybody has already talked to death about the memories from the Star Wars trilogy and stuff like that. The things that you find out that we found out because of her current involvement in the newer Star Wars movies and because of her passing. There's a lot of stuff to like her for. I mean, she wrote a whole bunch of books. She was probably in the 90s one of the most sought after script doctors there was. I mean, you asked anybody and she's touched quite a few movies that that were better because she behind the scenes and uncredited actually fixed a lot of the dialogue. And if you go online, you can see a lot of the scripts before and after. And you can see how bad the dialogue is before and how natural it is after. And she was incredibly good at it. Apparently she had, she even had a role in trying to fix the dialogue in the prequels, but you know, not everything can be fixed.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, she's touched such movies like Hook, Wedding Singer, Lethal Weapon 3, Sister Act, and the newer movies too. So the newer Star Wars movies. So, you know, there's that. She's written books. She's done so much in her life and she did it unapologetically. She always spoke her mind. She, you know, she had her problems and she accepted them and talked about them, which is, you know, something that a lot of stars usually try to sweep under the covers, you know, after a weekend at a, you know, one of those centers, one of Betty Ford centers, but Betty Ford. Yeah. But she was very open about, you know, her bipolar disorder and, you know, bringing out awareness of mental, not disabilities, but mental problems, that sort of thing. She was a person. She was unapologetic, very open, very in your face, very down to earth, very real person. People loved her for it. It was like people have described it as like into a room where there was a live wire, and right. we could all hope to be like that, you know, to be, you know, real, to be that, to have that much of an effect on the world around us and on the people we meet.
Agreed.
So, as we all feel, yeah, I don't know what which.
Now they have finished the next movie.
We're gonna say, which brings us actually to our first topic of the Lucasfilm. By the time this goes up, I'm sure they'll be done their meeting. They probably won't release any information. Is meeting to discuss the future of Princess Leia in the franchise.
Can we give them hints as fans?
Well, the thing is, they already had scripts. Obviously, they already had script for episode 8 because episode 8's already principal photography is done. I think for
yes.
Episode 8,
right.
And they're in post-production. The episode 9, they already had the script ready and were in pre-production with that film, you know, planning to roll into production pretty soon. But as far as I know, they hadn't actually shot any photography for it yet. And as I understand it, Carrie Fisher was supposed to have a prominent role in that film.
Yeah, there was talk about major scenes, and it's still up in the air where these scenes landed. Like, if one was in 9, were they both in 9? But the way the article reads, it almost like they're saying these were for 9, and that was a reunion with her brother, Luke Skywalker, and the other one being her finally confronting her son, Kylo Ren, who, you know, killed his father. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. So, so the question becomes, well, then how do you handle it? I mean, there's many different ways it can go. I mean, let's start with the most basic and way that these a lot of times you somehow kill her off in episode 8. And then And then rewrite the script for 9. But go ahead, what were you going
to say? I was going to say that that's tricky because that either they would do it in a way that's not, how do I say this? So they could either kill her off panel and not do any sort of special CG work, which I think would be a cheap death for such a prominent character.
Right.
And then, or alternately, they could kill her in some dramatic scene, which would mean that they would have to digitally render her for, you know, for that scene, for that event to happen. And then after that, they would have to, presumably if they go that route, if they kill her off and revise the story, then they're going to have to find some other arc that makes sense for who takes the place that she was supposed to fill, you know, to fill that hole.
The obvious person to take the place of that would be Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. Because there's nobody with the gravitas, with the history, that could do whatever they had planned for her. But he's the only one that could take any kind of command.
But there might be reasons that wouldn't fit.
Right. I mean, there's conversations that I think a mother and a son have versus and a nephew. Right.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's literally nothing we can do about that.
And I mean, I was looking forward to seeing, you know, Carrie Fisher scoldingly say my name on big screen.
So. but of course, then, you know, let's address the 5,000-pound gorilla in the room, John. I mean,
he's lost a little weight.
Is we just watched a movie with Peter Cushing in it. And her cushion's been dead since 1994.
It looks pretty good for that.
Yes, but all it did was prove to us that they really, if they were going to do that, they should have kept it to one quick scene. They shouldn't have made him a prominent role. And then when they did the CGI of young Princess Leia, either they didn't spend as much time on it or the person doing it didn't quite get it right.
We talked about this, that's how washed out she actually looks.
It actually mirrors her appearance in the beginning of New Hope very well. It looks weird, but she also looks weird in the beginning of New Hope. She was over made up and had weird lighting, and you know that's
they so basically that. it was the 70s lighting technology.
Right. So they're matching that.
But still, I don't agree.
I think.
I don't want to see them do a whole CGI thing with her. It's not that it's dishonest or disrespectful to the actress, to Carrie Fisher. It's just that there are ways to write their way around this that could actually enhance the next movie after. And if they handle it right, and it would be a tribute to Carrie Fisher herself. I don't know that killing her off screen would be such a bad idea if it were done in the right way. Or if they did a little CGI of, you know, the camera looking at the back of her as she's watching what finally is her demise. But
I think
there are ways to do this.
I think there are ways, and I think that here's my thoughts on it. I think, and John, I kind of disagree with you a little bit, but I also disagree with Dave a little bit on, as far as Peter Cushing, his portrayal. I don't think it was overdone, but I do think that there's still a little bit of that uncanny valley there. Where I see it is, I think that there's, with these types of digital recreations, I don't think that they get micro expressions very well. So I think that's what throws me off is when I'm watching it, like all of the facial changes are deliberate and slightly exaggerated, and I don't feel, and it doesn't feel like Peter Cushing. It doesn't feel like Moff Tarkin to me.
They didn't get his eyes. They didn't get his eyes. His eyes were much more expressive. And if you know him at all, if you've ever seen the actor in anything, seeing the CGI they did of him, you automatically, I mean, it's like, it's hard to ignore the fact that his eyes just aren't expressing, you know, him, the Peter Cushing. Go ahead.
So, I think that, I don't think it was horrible. I just think that there's still a gap, between you know, where they are and where they would need to be to completely replace a character with a scene-only version for a sizable role. So that said, I don't know that it makes sense to. I think they're going to have to doctor the script to address this. But here's what I could see as a viable option: they do some degree of CG, they give her a good death somewhere in the beginning of the film, probably having to do with something that Kylo Ren is doing. I don't know enough about the plot line going up through things, but assuming he's still the bad guy or Snoke is involved somehow, some planet gets blown up and she's on it or something along those lines. So there's just enough CG of her to be there for something to happen to her. But here's where I think here's an option that could make sense that I think would be really interesting to see and maybe slightly unprecedented, but, and I'd like your thoughts on it. What if that moment that she's supposed to there, if there is in fact a moment in episode 9 where she's supposed to say something, you know, some turning point pivotal thing to, you know, one of these characters, later in the movie, we have that moment after she's dead but her returning in the form of a Force ghost. And as such, that CG will come off a lot less scrutinized. Than it would if she was, they were trying to naturally insert her into a scene.
Okay. How about I take it a step further?
Okay.
Not a Force ghost, but a recorded message, just like how we were.
I mean, I think they could have recorded messages from her and have some of the dialogues that she was supposed to present be represented that way. So it's not all, you know, seeing her in the flesh, so right. to speak. And I still like the idea though, of seeing her come back as a Force ghost and really, you know, cementing something with the whole arc of this trilogy.
Right.
True, but it would act as quite a natural bookend of, you know, one of the first times we see her, it's in a recorded message to Ben Kenobi, and the last times we see her, it's a recorded message to her son, Ben.
Yeah.
See, I just got you.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, my problem is the death aspect of it, obviously, Carrie Fisher passed away. Obviously, the character at some point would have to die in the story, and I get that. It's the, you know, I don't want an off-screen death. I don't want it to be like just seeing her reflection in the glass. Again, circling back to the beginning of our conversation here, she's such an iconic character, such an important character in sci-fi history. She has to be dying for the right. There has to be a cause behind it. It can't be an empty.
Yeah.
That's the tricky
part. Yeah. So yeah, I think that we're all in agreement that if they were to go about a variation of this where they killed her off screen, you know, at the end of 8, went full CG Leia for the entirety of 9, none of us are on board with either of those scenarios. They have to do something a little bit more delicate and respectful.
Correct.
Yeah. You're probably not going to get your badass ending because that would require a bunch of CGI, but they could rejigger the end of the current movie in post to make it so that, you know, she dies at the end of it because of like an assassin or something or whatever. And, you know, it starts the ball rolling for how things are resolved in the third movie.
Perhaps
it's hard. It's going to take a script doctor and only what they've got that she was the script doctor.
Yeah. See now what I've got written, the script I've got in my head is there is some like her last transmission before wherever she is gets blown up.
Yes.
Is a transmission to her son and says, you know, like something like, help me, Ben Solo. Help us, Ben Solo. You're our only hope. And, you know, some close paradigm to that. And that's what gets through to him. And that's what he, you know, gets him to come around and join forces with Luke and whatever it is they're doing.
To go after Snoke, all 3 inches of him.
Right. And in the end, I think they can still have a Force ghost scene where Leia, you know, comes to say that she's proud of him for his choice. And it ends with, you know, him sadly saying, I love you. And she fades away saying, I know.
Anyway,
we're writing this movie for you people. Listen, follow through.
Hey, if anyone listening to this with that, he's making my eyes.
I know. That was hot. I like that. Yeah.
Let us know. I think it's, oh man. Anyway, wow. So yeah, Wow. Anyway.
You need a minute there, Dave?
All right.
A bit verklempt.
I'm a bit verklempt. Let's move on to Marvel news. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but definitely tweet at us. I want to know what people think about that idea. Are we just nuts or is Ben actually smart? A little bit of both.
you know that is
a beauty situation there.
Yeah, but you know your beard is going to get the residuals, right?
I hope so. I could use some. It always, that's what my beard is there for in the first place, is to catch residuals.
Yes. Well played. Well played.
There. A food joke.
Well played.
Food.
That requires...
Anyway.
Speaking of movies that we would like to see, but probably won't, James Gunn, we all know James Gunn at this point. He writes her to the Guardians among... Oh. Many other
I thought he was the guy in Angel. Sorry.
That's Gunn. That's a different Gunn.
That was his brother, right?
No, there was the character that... the character name was Gunn. I can't remember his name. The black actor. The bald guy.
Right, but wasn't James Gunn's brother in Buffy? Oh, no. Gilmore Girls.
No, he was in Gilmore Girls, that's yeah. Right, right. Which James Gunn was involved in as well.
Yes.
Okay. It was played by... So, yeah. It was J. August Richards.
Yeah, J. August Rickards was a guy who played Gunn. He was also Deathlok.
Gilmore Girls is just Buffy without the vampires. But anyway,
but that one had Sean Gunn in it, which was James Gunn's brother. And Sean Gunn did a lot of the mocap work for the Guardians movies, like all the scenes with Rocket. He's the one who's actually doing the mocap work for Rocket.
Oh, okay. So he's a double threat?
Yeah, maybe. So, anyway, James Gunn apparently has ideas about him at a Moon Knight movie.
Yes.
And has talked to Marvel about it.
Yes, he has. And
will never have time to direct.
He loves the character and says he doesn't have time to do it, but he would love to see a Moon Knight movie.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, though. If he has a good enough idea, like, yeah, he may not be able to do everything with it. He might be able to, like, get a script put together in some of his side time and hand it off and let them run with it and put someone else on it to direct it.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here. Now, I remember that there is a character named Moon Knight. I think I probably have one or two issues downstairs in the basement, but I do not remember almost anything about that character. So
Moon Knight is sort of the Marvel Batman of sorts. But if Batman were crazy and his powers were somewhat mystical and he had a split personality disorder. So that's like Moon Knight. I want to say his powers are only at their height during the full moon or something like that.
Yes.
And he has like three different personalities and different alter egos. Like he has multiple civilian alter egos that he actually, you know, switches to that identity in his mind when he's that person. So his memories are actually separated.
This guy is not sounding very heroic.
No, but he is a vigilante. He's powerful and he's an interesting character. Like that's what makes him, that's what draws people to him is that he's such a unusual, non-traditional hero.
He's a fairly complicated character, but again, like Ben's saying, that's what drew him. I think what Mark Spector.
Yeah, Mark Spector is his actual alter ego.
Alter ego, yes. But, like, he has basically a multiple personality. But when he's Moon Knight, he's like Batman. He's vigilante, take-no-nonsense kind of guy. Sometimes deals with that's how kind of he started out in a story with werewolves, you know. So deals with a lot of that kind of weird mojo stuff. But
he wears this whole white outfit that looks very Batman-ish with a big cowl, and he has all these bat-based weapons that he throws around.
Right, because that's the most important thing with the comic book characters.
Yeah.
You sure there weren't any copyright issues with this guy?
They're moon-based weapons, I meant to say. So apparently he got his powers via the moon god Khonshu.
You know, like that guy we all know about.
Right.
Yeah, him. That guy.
I want to say some ancient Egyptian type thing. But yeah, he's got, you know, Mark Spector is his real name, but he's also got aliases of Jake Lockley and Stephen Grant, and has also gone by the name of the Fist of Khonshu.
Okay, so at this point, we know Marvel can basically just take about anything and and make it gold. Moon Knight sounds like a stretch. I mean, like, I kind of think there would probably be a new Howard the Duck movie before that, before they'd hit, you know, below that to find Moon Knight.
I think you're wrong. I think it would be another sleeper smash hit like Deadpool.
Oh, look, why don't we just do Squirrel Girl then? Come on.
I'm okay with that.
I don't think we're too far off from Squirrel Girl.
No, if you hit Moon Knight, you definitely went past Squirrel Girl. She's much more prominent.
No, but she hasn't been around as long as Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight's been around a long time.
I would say that she's more in the public consciousness, at least with comic book people.
Moon Knight's first appearance was in 1975.
Really? That long ago?
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, a year after Wolverine's. So, there you go.
And he was never seen since. I wonder what happened to him.
He actually had an interesting run. Like, a couple years ago, they had a Moon Knight series, you know, relaunch type thing. And it was really interesting because you got to sort of see, like, for one, he was seeing a therapist in one of his egos, alter egos. And, like, when he was sort of battling with his different egos, they actually showed, like, they had whole panels dedicated to, like, the conversations in his head between the different characters that he is. Including there was, like, a little girl who was, like, trying to help steer him in the right directions. It was really interesting.
Yes.
So he's a pedophile.
What?
No.
Holding a little girl.
I don't think it counts when it's
like
inside
no.
your head.
Oh my god, it was one of his personalities.
So he ate her?
Like she could. I think she was supposed to represent Khonshu directly.
Interesting. It sounds
interesting.
It's
in weird directions, John. Every single time.
And if anyone could pull the movie off, that's the point.
More like
he could, but he probably won't. Just because he won't have the time. Because I will take more Guardians movies any day over a Moon Knight movie.
I don't know. He could do it in between.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to see it. I'm just saying, like I said, I think he should write a script and hand it off. And let someone else shine on that one. And let him keep branching out the Marvel space universe.
Yes. I kind of wonder, like, because this was in a recent interview where he talked about this, or is that a panel at a convention? But recently, and I wonder if it's one of those things where he threw that out there to see if Marvel would.
Well, I think, didn't he say that he actually talked to Marvel
that's
about
right, he did say.
Yeah.
He talked to them so about it and then just said he didn't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he is spending his time doing things like Dolphin Man Battles the Sex Lobsters, so, you know.
What?
He has a lot on his plate.
You got to keep your priorities.
Yeah. That's an actual movie or short that he did this year or last year, the year that doesn't exist.
He's helping to work on Homecoming and Ragnarok. That, I don't know.
Sometimes it's better not to ask these questions.
Okay, I won't.
But if he did that, I guess he could actually do Moon Knight.
Yes.
Anyway.
He also did the Belko experiment.
And PG porn.
So there's other Marvel things, right? Like on the small screen.
Now we're going to talk about James Gunn for the next 20 minutes. Oh,
and lollipop, super lollipop chainsaw.
Yes, the one I was fully aware of was coming, and that's of course their launching cartoon on Disney. They brought the
see, my awareness was flipped. I knew about the Big Hero 6 series coming, but I did not know they were relaunching. Like doing a new Spider-Man series. Like I thought the series they had was doing well. I'm surprised that they're rebooting it again.
Yeah, but those series are always. I mean, look, the original Sim Batman series was doing well, and they ended that because of interference from the studio and from toy sales. The cartoons are always about toy sales, and even no matter how good they are, you know, unless apparently if you're My Little Pony.
Toy sales too.
It is, but apparently the fans seem to have control of that ship right now, which is awesome. But you know that would have never lasted more than two seasons, and it's going to go apparently 9.
I think only enough Equestria Girl toys that keeps the whole thing afloat.
Maybe.
Actually,
but you think they'd sell enough Spider-Man toys to keep this afloat? Go ahead. We keep interrupting.
I haven't seen a lot of them though. But yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I wonder if it has to do with the same concept when they relaunched the Avengers cartoon. Correct me if I'm
wrong. The continuity.
There was the first one was Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and then it was Avengers Assemble, or vice versa.
Yeah.
When they relaunched it, like they wanted to align it not directly continuity, but have it be more like them than the initial cartoon they launched with.
Right.
So,
right, because the initial, I liked Earth Mightiest Heroes. It's a good cartoon, but it did definitely show different portrayals of many of the characters than the versions we were seeing in the movies at the time. Like Black Widow was actually Russian and had a Russian accent.
And Clint is more wise, right, cracking,
and he wore the old stupid purple costume as well. So, like, yeah, it was a lot of those costumes were more true to the original versions,
right,
from the comics in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That said, the writing was great, and they worked really hard to introduce a lot of different characters through that in interesting ways. And so I was a bit disappointed when they dropped it in favor of the Avengers Assemble show. And I didn't explicitly have a problem with it, but I didn't really be watching those cartoons in my 30s per se, so I just let it slide.
But
I just never got into it. So
you compare them to the cartoons on DC, and I'm not talking about the Justice League Action or Teen Titans Go, but the good stuff, that all the good stuff that they've been putting out, and it was. It's like a joke that Nostalgia Critic did in the beginning of the review for Superman v. Batman. It's like, yeah, the Marvel will be great, but the cartoons, the anime cartoons will be childish and bad, but the DC stuff will be, movie will be bad, but the cartoons will be good and deep and dark and with adult themes. Yeah. So I watched all of the, Avengers series, and I thought they were okay. It was nice that they tied in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the others, but they started going. They started going Teen Titans Go before Teen Titans Go. So I'm not really into that anymore.
So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if in the new Spider-Man cartoon, his love interest Liz Allen, he's in high school, and that he's got the best friend that leads. You know, just
I'm not projecting that they go that deep, only because I think, as I understand it, now I have to look at the dates, but. I think the cartoon's probably going to come out before the movie, in which case I don't think they want to blow too much of those types of plot points in the cartoon first.
No, it won't follow the plot at all of the movie, but it's,
I understand, but it'll get kids, I'm saying, those parallels will confuse kids.
But that's the whole thing, that it'll get kids ready to go, that's right, Liz Allen is like, no, yeah, he's got a friend named Ned, you know, when they go into the movie.
I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I'll leave it if I see it.
Okay. Shall we place a wager on this?
No.
Not another one.
I know better in this case. I've eaten enough meat this year.
Oh.
That was last year.
You would forego FOGO? Oh my gosh.
In 2016.
Dude, I've got some strife from that from my wife because I don't take her on dates. So
but you took John on.
Right.
All right. Well,
yeah.
It'll be a little closer to the homecoming.
It might. I honestly think that the one thing I will say is while I enjoyed the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
The one they had, I enjoyed it. I stopped watching it a while ago because my kids stopped watching it. But I thought that they focused a lot on the team aspect with, you know, Iron Fist and Power Man and all those characters. For one, most of those characters weren't as young as they are in that show in the comics. A lot of them are older. So it didn't all line up well with comic readership of what these characters were like. And additionally, Spider-Man's usually not a team player.
Right.
And I think that previous show they had, the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, was a better model for the way that I think that show should be. So I think if they were to somehow, if this new show combined those two, the best elements from each of those shows, then I can get behind that.
Okay.
Like, put him back on his own, put him back in high school, but, like, you know, as he was in Spectacular Spider-Man, and you know, get rid of the, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. can exist, but they can't be managing everything.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all about getting the kids interested. I think at least the aspect of the love injury, Liz Allen, we won't have Gwen or Mary Jane.
Maybe. We'll see. We don't really know yet, but we shall see.
So, all right. Well, that's all the Marvel news. Now we go across the street to the DC offices, and
everything's coming back.
I have my box of tissues ready. Let's go.
I don't want to know what you're using those tissues for, John.
I refer, First things first, everyone will be happy to know that all four of the WWE shows have been renewed for at least another season.
Not only that, they're bringing back Constantine in the form of an animated series on the CW seed.
I am excited about that.
Is that why you needed tissues?
No.
That's what I was about to say.
This is a family show, dude. Come on.
Have you met my family? Yes, you have met my family.
I have met your family, and I'm saying this is a family show, but not your family. It's like...
So yeah, the full lineup's coming back. There's also, I saw a tweet recently from, what's his face? Greg Berlanti, or one of the guys involved in the DCCW shows, hinting that there might be an announcement soon about another show.
Huh, interesting.
Like that they might be adding to the lineup.
Well,
oh, okay.
Did you...
Talking Justice League Dark.
They're making that as a movie.
Now, in the article, and you guys will have to correct me on this, I thought it was already canceled. In the article that we're sourcing this from in Noip.com, they noticed that iZombie was missing the lineup, but wasn't...
Yeah, no, it hasn't been canceled. It's just they've got a really late... They've got a short season this year, and it hasn't started yet. It's not starting until, like, April or something, which is kind of putting it on the bubble. Like, it's one of those situations where it's already kind of on the bubble, and they're not helping it in that respect. But, because I enjoyed that show. I thought it was a decent show.
I have to be just one episode.
Yeah, I've watched them all.
Really my cup.
Well, you don't like your cup of tea with brains in it?
No, not particularly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know John enjoyed
it. Yeah, but not that show. I haven't really seen that show either. I know everybody's just screaming at us, you gotta see Walking Dead, it's awesome. Again, not my cup of tea. I'm more of an Earl Grey Matavana kind of guy, maybe you know mixing my own matcha with some
maybe
milk,
a severed finger
but...
floating in there.
No.
Jeff Johns. It was Jeff Johns who tweeted.
Oh well, he would know.
Saying that, right. And a tweet that he sent, it was, he said, CW The Flash, CW Arrow, CW Legends, CW Supergirl, very excited, new show news. Or no, this is what I wrote. What he wrote is all of those, and said, also mentioned Gotham and Lucifer.
Oh.
And many more, one of which will be announced soon.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
So yeah, he's saying more, and suggesting there was going to be a new show announced soon. But I hadn't, you know, that was... Weeko, there hasn't been any follow up yet.
If they do, they may as well rename it from CBD or CW.
Yeah, right the first time.
CD. Yeah, yeah.
He can get it right and then leave it alone. That's just not John's style.
Not at all.
Well, I thought I made a mistake, and I did, but it was good. So I should have.
But I had responded to his tweet, and I suggested that I was excited and maybe we'll get some magic, and suggested Zatanna might be a good choice.
And he didn't respond at all to
because I.
Okay.
Not at all. So.
He doesn't know you exist. Okay. That's all my really. So along the lines of those shows renewed, they also released the synopsis for the mid-season premieres of all the shows. And
nice. I wish I read that.
Well, the first one, it must be nice to work in Hollywood because then you can cast your daughter in whatever you want. So here's the synopsis. Speaking of that, yes, that's directing.
Of course, that's why he's such a nepotist.
Speaking of shows that nepotism. Kara is moved by the story of a named Izzy, guest star Harley Quinn, and decides to investigate despite Snapper Carr's guest star Ian Gomez order to leave it alone. Kara takes Mon-El with her to the last place Izzy was and the duo find themselves thrust through a portal to another planet.
Is there a giant spider?
No, it's taking them to a slaver moon, apparently.
Where the downtrodden are sold as slaves. The leader of the trafficking ring is none other than Roulette, a star...
Agent Lockman.
To make matters worse, Slaver's Moon has a red sun, which means Kara and Mon-El are stripped of their powers and stuck on the planet with no... So yes, and some other stuff happens to the other character.
Of course.
So,
and some other things. Yep.
And filler, and
so,
there you go.
So well, you know, it's almost a guarantee, though, that because Kevin Smith is directing this one episode, right? He's not directing multiple episodes necessarily of Supergirl this season, so the chances we see Izzy more than as a one-off in this episode seems pretty slim.
Yes, just like in the episode of Flash that he directed, you know, we had, we had Jason Mewes show up, which was such a, everything in the show was good except for that scene.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that scene, but we've discussed this. So,
right, we won't get, so yes, hopefully his daughter will do better, but only time will tell.
Sure. Yeah.
What else did we find out? The Flash. Barry is tormented by his vision of the future, where Iris is murdered by Savitar, when a criminal named Plunder, guest star Steve Hazar, shows up in Central City. Barry recalls the villain's presence and fears that if he catches Plunder, it will cement Iris. Confused about Barry's hesitation to stop Plunder, Wally decides to step in as Kid Flash. Caitlin offers Jilly a job. That's the whole synopsis. And the last sentence is just a random little.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And Joe's there too.
And the rest.
Right. So I have some. I don't know. I don't know if I have strong thoughts about this. I do have thoughts that I think this arc is going to annoy me a bit until they lead up to whatever Iris's fate ends up being, or how Barry manages to save her life, because you know he will somehow.
No, you don't.
And everyone will be pissed off at him about it.
You don't know that though. You don't know that because they're killing people off. They took out Black Canary, for crying out loud.
And they're bringing her back in the next episode of Arrow.
But they're not bringing her back permanently.
Anyway, my point is this, you can't kill off Iris. Iris is pivotal. They're going to find a way to keep Savitar from killing Iris, and it's going to have ripple effects. My thinking is that one of those ripple effects is that will be the way by which they introduce the Black Racer, in that he's going to be giving Barry a hard time for having, you know, saved Iris when he knew that she was supposed to have died. And that's going to be the story arc from that point forward.
Look, only if he's got skin. I told you that already.
Yep. And now, the Plunderer. Like, I don't remember anything in that flash forward about there being a guy named the Plunderer sticking around or hanging about. So they're now retconning his own jump to the future?
They're retconning their future vision already, yes. Because it was just him, Savitar, Iris, and him. Two Barrys, Iris and him. And then there was...
Right, and here's the fundamental problem with Barry. There were two of them there who could have stopped her from being killed. And neither of them did a single thing.
They just sat there and went, no!
Right. And that's what he does every time in these types of situations. It's why his mom kept dying. It's why, you know, everyone dies around him.
Because
he just stands there and not thinking strategically on how to solve the problem.
Crisis.
No. Doesn't have the mindset for it.
All right. On to Wednesday night.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Worried.
That's the title. The Legends
episode. Oh, no. I skipped that because...
Oh, yeah, you skipped over that one.
We had to do it in order by day. I don't... This article is in order by day.
But they're moving. It's Tuesday. That's why.
Oh, is that why?
It's moving to Tuesday at 9.
Well, okay.
So it's going to be after the flash. All right.
We here at Superhero Speak of crack researchers who...
Oh, it says it right...
We're always right above it.
I know. Dave only reads the words in bold.
It says it right above the synopsis I'm about to read.
I know. Right.
I'm an idiot. When Damien Dark, star Neil McDonough... Wait. McDonough. And Malcolm Merlyn, guest star John Barrowman, tried to capture Rip Hunter in 1937. They create an aberration big enough to draw the attention of the Legend. However, when the team arrives, they discover Rip had no memories of his due to a time drift. And is just a graduate film student. After trying to...
That's not a basic mock at all.
After trying to convince Rip of who he was, they discover that he possesses an incredibly powerful artifact known as the Spear of Destiny, which the Legion of Doom is after. Ray and Nate realize that the aberration has also affected them personally, making it difficult to help the team. Meanwhile, Rory asks Stein for help and makes him promise to keep the secret from him.
Oh, Jesus. This is like soap operas. That's half the time. And yes, words are hard. So the aberration affects them personally. Never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. And the Spear of Destiny, is the Spear of Destiny something that has canon in DC? Because I think I've seen that elsewhere.
It is. I'm counting on our resident expert.
Yeah, it was in the Constantine movie as well. It was what they were using to basically bring, what is it, Baby Satan's Bee.
Right.
Baby Son of Satan back into the world. They had to use the Spear of Destiny in order to cut the woman open and bring him in.
Spear of Destiny, for those outside of the DC universe, is...
Oh, come on. It's been used in, like, every genre. Yeah, it's always... one of the biggest MacGuffins out there.
Right. It's been on... It's probably been on Warehouse 13 and on the Librarians.
Right, pierced the side of Jesus when he was on.
Right.
Supposedly.
I'm just saying that's where the legend comes from.
Right. I understand. Because, you know...
We don't need everything John's made back sarcastic then, remarks.
Nothing rusted or ever wore out.
So is the Jesus pokey stick?
Please, Christians, don't turn your iPods and headphones.
It's not inaccurate, but...
Look, you know, I just call him like I see him. It's just...
So, yeah. Anyway, moving along. Yeah, you just sort of see a hint of the Reponter's lack of memory at the last episode, and him being a non-accented, you know, American film director or whatever, which just seemed weird.
Yeah, directing a what appeared to be a scene out of a movie about him.
Right, about basically the team that he only vaguely remembers that he's now putting together as a sci-fi idea. Anyway. Supposedly, we're going to see a young Lucas in this episode somehow.
Should be
like
fun.
George Lucas.
What?
Oh,
yeah. There's going to be There's going to be a young George Lucas in this episode. Not the actual George Lucas, but someone playing a young version of George Lucas.
Why can't they just CG his face to look young, like they did the Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War?
Right.
What are we missing here? It's possible. Or is that?
Yeah, leave him with a. Leave him with a note stable to his forehead. No Jar Jar.
Is that a little too much for the Legends of Tomorrow
or the
budget?
CW effect budget? Yeah, that'll basically mean they have to cancel the rest of the episodes for the season.
It would be worth it. Oh wait, no. All right.
Well, you know what they could do? Once they release the series on DVD, they could have a special edition where they do put that in.
Again, that's a very expensive Easter egg.
No, I'm saying they changed the episode.
Who are you?
Oh, okay. So, moving on to Arrow.
That's the name of.
Worried that Prometheus is right, and he is really a killer at heart. Oliver, for any Ray, it in what seemed to be the miraculous return of Laura's guest star. However, Felicity, still reeling from Detective Malone's murder, is bent on revenge. She wants to stop Prometheus at any cost. While in prison, Diggle fight.
Next time, can we hire the Honest Trailers voice guy for this?
No.
I think John Bailey would do a little bit better.
Perhaps. That is true.
Yes,
he's the best we can pay for.
is right. It does not see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway, so
we'll see your voice later.
You're not understanding what. So again, we get that little line at the end. Diggle fights for his life in jail, which is just thrown in. Which we all know what
they've got to cover all their characters. That's just how they do.
At the mid.
Might as well just say after that, Curtis eats a sandwich.
At the mid-season finale, he got captured.
That is kind of a weird, was it tertiary story arc that they just threw in there about him?
Which one?
About Diggle going to jail and all that. And,
I'm not surprised by that. He was a fugitive. That's been an ongoing thing half of the season. Like, ever since Oliver broke him out, he's kind of been living on the run.
Well, yeah, but just the whole... making him go on the run. I mean, they've kind of paired him off into his own little sub series. You know,
well, maybe that's on purpose. Maybe they have.
Oh, there's your fourth season. There's your fourth or fifth series right there.
Yeah, maybe his salvation this time will come in the form of a extraterrestrial intervention
or his own pilot,
where he gets a ring of some sort.
Anyway.
Oh no.
You can't see him changing his last name to Stewart?
Because he's Guardian. Guardian is a character in comic book.
He doesn't have to stay that character, though. Guardian has never been John Diggle in comics.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
I think they left that open so they could bring Green Lantern. That's the new series. Okay.
I thought they didn't want to do this.
Well, we're not doing a Ryan Reynolds version. God. Onto the topic of Prometheus, which is the main focus of the episode. We talked about this before, and I think we were all kind of hoping that his identity was going to be revealed at the fair, you know.
Yeah, but they kind of left it us hanging there. And, yeah, I'm curious where they're going to go with that. Like, I have my thoughts on that. Kind of leaning towards, I think it's far-fetched, but I'm kind of leaning towards it being Tommy. It's the way that he's behaving, it suggests that he not only knows, you know, knows Oliver, has known about what Oliver's been doing for years, and also has, like, been following closely and has inside knowledge about a lot of things he's done, that he's recreating things and setting him up in these things, but hasn't been able to do that sooner than this season because of whatever reasons. So say, for instance, it's Tommy. You know, he would have needed time to put his research through the training he needed to be as proficient as he was, you know, to do all those other things as he built his vendetta against his enemy.
His enemy,
so,
his
but that would seem... Right, which would also seem kind of like a reversal, because when he died, he was sort of at peace with things, with Ollie.
Yeah, but you know, but the Lazarus... Is,
the way these shows go, that's...
You know what the Lazarus Pit yeah, does.
Right.
Makes you bitter, like...
It's crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's only after the third time through.
All I'm saying is if it ends up being some, you know, completely different new character that we've never seen, it just won't, in my mind, won't fit. It'll just be a dropped opportunity.
Right. All right. How about you, John?
Aliens from another world that create, you know, these xenomorph things? No. I thought they... Did I miss something? Because I thought it was the son of the guy who was running that company that they had the finale.
They hinted at, but he never takes...
Right. So I thought that was... I thought we were going to assume that was the guy.
I don't think that was necessarily the thing. Also, speaking of the way that those things ended there, I'm kind of annoyed what they ended up doing with Curtis and his husband. Like, I don't like the fact that they drove a nail in that relationship just out of the blue.
No, no relationship has ever survived a TV plot.
Okay, so,
I guess so.
You're apparently not allowed to show a working relationship on a TV series because they always run out of plot ideas and then decide, hey, let's throw something in. I mean, All About Me, they did it for no reason and almost destroyed the entire series. So,
If you were called to the hospital because your wife was in the hospital, and you find out that, you know, she's been running around as a vigilante for a year and didn't tell you, how do you act?
I would not be happy. I wouldn't create ultimatums necessarily or ones that I would stick to. I wouldn't walk out on her because of that. You know, I would grapple with it. We would fight over it. But eventually, I would hope that we'd come to a better place and a better, you know, understanding of things.
Dude, like, you're a superhero?
Right, that's kind of an awesome thing. I mean, yeah, it's also scary as shit, but it's also pretty cool. Like, it's an accomplishment. I don't know. I would not necessarily, you know, have that same reaction. That was, I think, a hyperbolic reaction.
It was the my way or the highway type reaction, which was a bit extreme, but again, it's a TV show. They don't know how to explore. But yeah, I mean, I would have upset. Because if they could lie about that for a long time, what else about too?
Right. Again, I get that. I do. But the fact that these CW shows tend to show these, no one has dialogue. No one has, like, an argument that is a true argument where they go back and forth, where they, you know, really discuss things. You know, it's always monologuing at each other.
Like when the Democrats are...
Yeah, but at least that goes on for multiple lines. Yeah, they're not listening to each other, but it continues.
Yes.
So.
We'll see. I mean, that might not be the end of it. That's just where they cliffhanged it for the foreseeable future. Yeah,
cliffhanged it.
So.
Well, they cliffhanged it.
So, on that note, one last little bit of DC news that's been all over the internet. They released a high-resolution picture from Justice League, Gods Among Us. Oh, wait. I mean...
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'd see that resolution picture of Wonder Woman.
There were oh, four God. Guys in the picture, too.
I'll take your word for it.
So, do we have thoughts?
It doesn't seem like all that big of a deal, though. Like, it's... Yeah, okay. It's a picture of these four guys in dark shadow and mist for whatever reason.
I think it's our first full-body picture of Cyborg.
Yeah, and he looks a little weird to me. Like, he's very overly angular, I think.
I think Michael Bay came in as a consultant and said, yeah, he's kind of like a Transformer, so he's got to look like this.
Right, whereas I was expecting him to look a little bit more like RoboCop, a little less like... Optimus Prime.
I mean, he's even got the...
Well, if it were Michael Bay, though, he'd explode after
he's even
that,
got the...
Know?
Yeah. Well,
he's
give
even
it
got
time.
The red glowing in the middle, like the Matrix of Leadership is under his chest.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for with that. They went for it.
Well, also, the Flash costume is kind of interesting, too, because it looks like, I mean, yeah, I've seen the Flash armor before, but, it, like, the weird, you know, interconnecting zip ties is a weird aspect to it, like, between the panels.
He's wearing a corset and a codpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stark gave Spider-Man an upgrade. Why didn't Batman give him an upgrade?
Maybe he did.
Why does somebody who can just walk past bullets and armor?
Reasons?
Reasons.
Okay.
You know what they're gonna say that it's for protection from friction, but then they're gonna say, though. But then where's all the chapstick he uses while he runs?
Yeah.
There's actually, you can't see it, but there's a dispenser on his helmet that comes down and constantly lubes his mouth while he's running.
There's one in the codpiece for his legs.
Yeah, it just oozes out down his legs.
The whole armor thing is just, I don't know.
But this is the first time we're seeing Aquaman, I think, in his full regalia.
Well, such as it is, it's very shadowed.
I thought you released one other one when they full costume.
I don't know, maybe. There's been a lot of stuff. I stopped paying attention.
I mean, okay, so he's got kind of a gold top and green pants. It's Aquaman, but there's not much you can do with him.
Yeah, but I'm just, all I remember is seeing him in, like, the seafaring wear and then the, you know, the weird body tattoo look. So it's interesting to see him, like I said, in his full regalia.
Cyborg looks like a Borg.
Yeah, but a weird Borg.
I hate to say this. If you look at it, do you have in front of you a picture of him?
Yes.
The full blown up picture. Okay, look at his pelvis. There's two little red lights. Those are the eyes. The codpiece is the
nose. Oh, that's Megatron right there.
Yes, it is.
Oh my god.
You don't undo that again.
No.
Look at it.
I'm gonna stick to the zip tie.
Cyborg's crotch is Megatron.
Yep. I'm sorry, but I don't like the flash of it all. It just looks way, way overdone, you know?
Right. It doesn't look, yeah. I don't see how that conveys charm.
Well, yeah, exactly, because, if you move the wrong way, you're going to stab yourself, and most of them are with that being brought, so, you know.
Right.
You're right, it's not at all, it's just show.
Yeah.
And since when did Aquaman have armor, you know?
Well, he goes in some pretty cold, deep waters.
And the best thing to do while you're deep, heavy chainmail on.
That's not chainmail. That's like fish scale armor. It's insulating.
All right.
The Atlantean version of a wetsuit.
Yeah, we're not even gonna talk about Batman. Every time they do a new version of Batman, they add more armor.
Yeah.
He's gonna look like the next version is gonna be a mech. I mean, that's just all there is.
They did it on the comic,
and the
why
thing
not?
Is, it's like, I'm gonna be starting on that one. Like, you can't even see is there a bat symbol on the chest on that?
No.
Barely. There is, but it's barely there.
Is it?
It's the Fat Bat is the new one that they've been using lately since Batman vs. Superman. And so you can kind of see in the chest plate, like it's bisected in the middle, but the wings are there.
I mean, does Snyder have something as the bat symbol?
I don't know.
Snyder. God, Snyder. We've been Snydered. Okay.
Yeah.
No, seriously. You know, Snyder is not... I told you I've got my tissues ready. I'm just
So everyone's got their symbols on them except for Cyborg.
Who's doing the Batman Lego movie? Why don't they put him in charge?
Or her? I'm looking forward to that. Well, it's the same guys. I think, isn't it the same guys that did the Lego movie?
Yeah, put them in charge. Or you know what? Give it to the Marvel guys. not only would we get to see Superman versus the Hulk, but a good story.
How long before Disney takes over Warner Brothers? They just don't everything.
Might be a while. They have to dig that hole a lot deeper before going there.
So, we want to know what you people think, though. So tweet at us. So, do you like the look of the Justice sans Superman? Do you think Batman doesn't need bat on his chest? Do you think the armor makes sense for Flash? Or does he even need armor? And will you ever be able to unsee Megatron's face in Cyborg's crotch? Let us know.
And most importantly, do you think we've talked way too long on this topic?
That's right. We've gone. Okay.
So before we wrap up, real quick, boys, don't forget, follow us on Twitter @superheroes. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/superheroespeak. And of course, if you enjoy the show, please patreon.com/superheroespeak. They have many extras that are going to be coming up soon. A secret episode was posted this week. Hope you will enjoy that. The other bonus content that is up there. Yeah. Oh, and finally, we got some more information about the Comic-Con, which we're attending in February. They have us hosting two panels for ourselves and many other panels. So we're going to be busy, busy, busy. Hope to see you guys there. Come on out. Meet us. Say hi. Tell us you love us.
Throw things at us.
Tell us you hate us. Whatever makes you happy.
Give us pointers.
So yeah, and definitely keep an eye on our Facebook and Twitter. A lot more information about that. We'll be very short. So until then, boys and girls. Oh.
You know what, though? There is one good thing about that Justice League picture. You know, the one influence, or influence Batman had on costuming for those other characters. There's one thing he did not get any of the rest of them to wear.
Uh-huh.
Could that be tape?
Underwear.
That's what it is.
No, I thought I was going to go with underwear, but okay.
I couldn't confirm that well in that high-resolution image.
Well, on that note, boys and girls, as always, don't let your Megatron crotch get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Ouch.